No, we already done a couple of times this handshaking thing, greeting, and I think Michael likes it. Well, he was right in my face, man. I thought he was gonna give me a hug. A while back, it was Michael's birthday, and Bill came up with the idea to announce it during the halftime there at the church. And anybody knows Michael, he doesn't like any gushy stuff at all, you know. He just assumed you forget it's his birthday and just go on. So we even announced that you know, Michael wants some hugs too. I tell you one thing, Michael can turn about 3 or 4 different shades of red. Mark chapter 1. You know, one thing I haven't thanked the church for this time, and I want to do it. Last year, the elders, I think it was Brian and Lyndall, invited the missionaries down in Mexico if they wanted to go to New York to preach. And, well, I signed up right away. I thought, boy, that's, you know, hang out with Brother Lyndall and listen to him preach a couple of days and Brother Brian. I said, yeah, I'm there. And, you know, the plus was I didn't have to pay for it. So, and I know you guys did. You guys put up the money for my plane trip, and I appreciate that. I had a real, real good time. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I thank the church for that. In chapter 1 of Mark, I'll read a verse here that's, it says here, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Verse 17. You know, we know that, that this right here, if you read this chapter, this is where Jesus calls, Peter, and he calls Andrew, and he calls James and John. Four of the 12, he calls them right here. Fishers of men. They became preachers. Man, a third of the apostles were called right here. You know, I think it'd be a great thing if we had a third of the church preaching. You know, that'd be good. You know, I've heard it lots of times. You know, I mean, I don't know the stats or whatever, but you know, they say that a little bit of the church, a little bit of the people in the church are the one that do most of the work. And I don't know how true that is. I don't know. But you know, I've been to some churches, you know, our church is down there in Mexico, and especially we're about to have a men's meeting there in Toluca, and you know, I'm hoping, you know, 80 men show up, you know. If it was like León, you know, we just had, that was our last men's meeting. You know, I hope 80, 100 men show up. And we're going to have, you know, like Bill likes to call it, a 24-hour meeting. You know, where we have preachers and we basically stay up and can't get any sleep and just talking and fellowshipping. But these guys are street preachers. These guys are elders. These guys are in the work. You know, and that's a real good thing. You know, when Jesus came and he called these men, Jesus' mission was to seek and save. And we know that because in Luke chapter 19 verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This should be our priority too. I mean, if Jesus comes and calls these men, and this is exactly what this is the job that he left them to do, go out and preach and disciple. This is what you are to do the rest of your life. This is it. We're also told in John chapter 20 verse 21, "This said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." We sing a song with that. It says, "Even so send I you." You know, Jesus was sent to seek and to save, and he sends these 12 to seek and to save. And that call, that mission is still true today. You know, I think this duty is for all of us and as a church, and I think here we do it well. I think, you know, like I said, we could do a lot more. But you know, the sad thing about sometimes, and there's some Christians that probably wouldn't go out and fish unless the fish just flopped right in the boat. You know, and I like those fishes when they flop right into the boat. You know, we got a, you know, one brother there, in Toluca that literally, that's what happened. He got off a bus right there in downtown, and we had our meeting right there. And on the bus, this is what he told me, on the bus, he was asking God, send me to somebody. He gets off the bus and we have our meeting right there. And we're over there singing. Well, you know what? After the meeting, It wasn't just so much as, Grady's here, you know, my work is done. We already sung a couple of songs. We already preached a couple. No, it comes discipleship. It comes teaching. It comes, hey, look, this is what you got to do to be saved. You know, it's great when they flop in, but someone's got to clean them. You know? And I ain't paying anybody else to clean my fish.
Amen.
I want to do the cleaning. I want to do the filleting. I want to do the eating. I want to reap the benefits. Well, you know, I think this is our job. But you know what? A problem arises, I think, when fishermen, and that's what we are, when a church that fishes ain't fishing. There's some things happen. And just real quickly, I told my wife I was going to be brief. She didn't believe me. The dangers. One thing I see in Mark 9:34, it says, but they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. You know what happens when we don't fish? You know what happens when we don't do what God called us to do? We have a tendency to fight. You know what? I really appreciate Mike Jackson. Sometimes he says some things that are pretty funny at first, but you know, they make a lot of sense. You know, one time, you know, I don't know, in the conversation where we were talking, or I was just listening probably because, you know, whatever. You know, I was just listening. And he said, talking about the youth or talking about kids and the problems and everything. And he says, the problem is they're not working. They got too much time on their hands. If they got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and put in a hard day's work, by the time they got home for supper, all they'd want to do is sleep.
That's right. Amen.
Well, you know, at first you're thinking, man, that's pretty wild. You know, that's a statement, you know, and I know he works really hard, but you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. You know, if the church was busy, if we were all busy trying to do the Lord's work, and when I say the Lord's work, I'm not just talking about evangelizing. Because I think in order to be an effective church, and in order to be an effective witness, we gotta be clean. I mean, the judgment's gotta start here.
Amen.
With us. You know, we can't live in sin and just, you know, live wrong and expect to go out there and say, hey, you know what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, didn't we see you on the highway on 410 cursing somebody out? You know, what happened to me? I think I already told this story once, but that happened to me in Toluca. I wasn't cursing. I was Christian cursing. I was there at Walmart in Toluca and I was mad because I took a film. Well, I was probably just irritated a little bit. I took a roll of film in there, right? I took two rolls in there and they developed them, but one of them was a blank roll. There was nothing on there. So, you know, I kind of laughed or whatever and I said, okay, you know, how much do I owe you? And she says, okay, you owe me, you know, $4 for that and $4 for this one. I said, well, why am I going to pay you for this one? There's nothing on there. He goes, well, yeah, but we developed them. And so at first I was like, what's going on? You know, I mean, this doesn't make sense. And so here I am getting all, you know, upset or whatever and telling them stuff. And there's two young ladies here. And I, you know, at the time I didn't know they were there, but I was, you know, telling a bunch of stuff and not cursing, but upset. And then finally I just said, well, you know, what happens if I don't pay for it? And they say, well, you can't take them. And I said, okay, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me not take a blank film, but whatever, you know, I'm going to go ahead and suffer that. Left. Well, a couple of months went by. Right. And we got, you know, we started getting some people there at the church and stuff and everything. And these two young ladies, you know, are there. And after the meeting, one young girl says, I know who you are. And I said, well, you know, what are you talking about? You're that man at Walmart. I thought, oh, no. Got to watch it. Yeah, exactly. But believe you me, I wasn't cursing. Okay. Just got a little irritated. A little upset. But you know what? I think the church I think we go wrong when we lose our focus and we start fussing and we start fighting, we start bickering, we start nitpicking, we start just, you know, getting our feelings hurt and do I need to go on? I didn't write anything else. I hope not. I think that was it. Complaining. Whining, complaining. That's it. That's all I got. I'm sure there's more. But you know what I'm talking about? I mean, if we spend our time doing that instead of fishing.
Right, amen.
Instead of trying to be more like Christ, you know? I think we have a tendency of getting in fighting. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been saved, you know, a few years, but has anybody left the church, Brother Lindell? Wait a minute. I'm not done yet. Has anybody left the church because we're winning too many souls? No, never, right? I mean, people leave the church because too much fighting or too much backbiting or too much this or too much that, or because they're the ones doing the problem or whatever it is.
Hurt feelings.
But I've never heard anybody leaving the church because, Brother Lindell, I can't meet with you no more. We're just winning too many souls. I mean, you know, so that brings me to think that if we would just focus on fishing.
Amen.
And just doing. And if somebody wrongs us, we just let it go by.
Amen.
Just let it go by. It just doesn't matter. You know? I mean, just love a little bit more. Maybe not hug, but just love a little bit more. Amen. You know, another thing I thought about is, when the church isn't, busy fishing, we also have a tendency to run, you know. And, you know, I mentioned about Peter in Matthew 26, and he says he comes to the point where they're trying to pinpoint him on if he was with Jesus or not. And he says, I do not know the man. Well, you know, and we can look at that and we say, okay, well, you know, he was in a bad way, and, you know, he was, you know, wanted to save his life or whatever it is. But you know what? I start thinking about that, and probably Peter just said, you know what? This wasn't what I planned. You know, this is not what I imagined. You know, when Jesus said that when he chose me, this isn't what I thought was going to happen. Well, you know what? I think lots of times, us as Christians, I think when adversity comes, when we have problems, when we have challenges, lots of times, if we're not focused on why we're here, why God saved us, why God came to this world to save lost sinners, we run. We just run. You know, have you heard about those two guys? Those two guys, I don't know if it was a joke or somebody told me that really happened. I have no idea. But these two guys, they up in Wyoming or somewhere, they had a problem with wolves. There's just a bunch of wolves. And the government said, we're going to pay, you know, for every wolf you kill, $5,000. So these couple of guys say, man, let's go hunting. You know, we're going to take off. So they go and they're hunting, and they're, you know, late at night, and they're sleeping or whatever. And all of a sudden one wakes up and he opens his eyes and he sees 100 wolves around him. He wakes up his buddy and he says, hey, wake up. We're rich. I mean, I think if I would have woken up, I said, this is a big problem. But this guy saw dollar sign, man. He says, man, we are rich. Well, you know what? When we have problems, and problems do arise in the church, when some things happen, when people leave, when people get their feelings hurt, it's a perfect opportunity to rise to the occasion.
Amen.
You know? I mean, God says over there that he even allows heresies to come into the church. I mean, the trials can only make us even a better church, better Christians. I mean, I don't pray for trials, you know, but I know when things do happen, they're for a purpose. And instead of running, instead of just taking off, we need to stay the course. You know, when we're not fishing, we're not busy and focused. I think Magda the other night, she said it right, you know. I mean, it's all about Jesus, you know. I mean, that is what counts. You know, and sometimes, you know, we forget that. It took a young lady from Poland to come and speak in her very good English. Is Magda here? No? Very good English. to remind us of that. But you know, one other thing, when we're not fishing, I think we have a tendency to forget why we're here. You know, there in John in chapter 21 again, you know, here we see, Peter, and there's like seven of them. They go fishing. I go fishing, he says. Just take off. Forget the miracles. Forgot the teachings. Forgot what, I mean, Jesus just said over there in Luke, you know, I came to seek and to save. This is why I came. And just like God sent me, I'm sending you out. Totally forgot why we're here. Well, you know what? We're not here. This church isn't here for us. You know? I mean, we're here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I am so thankful for the church. You know, when I came to this church, the building was already up. You know, I just came in and just sat down in other people's labors, you know, other people's money, other people, they spent time and money and hours and just getting it all set up for me. That's the way I look at it. We tend to forget that. You know, these guys, Jesus calls them, Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they decided just to go back and be a fisherman, you know, fishers of men. I just want to be a fisherman. Forget that. I want to go and catch men. This is what counts. To actually teach the gospel and tell them, look, this is a much better way. The Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him and be saved all eternity. This is the greatest gift, the greatest offering the world has ever seen. And we are participants of this. You know, I think that when we aren't busy fishing, and doing God's work and starting in here and make sure the church is okay and continue to evangelize and send, you know, people out and make sure the gospel gets out. We forget the things of God. We fight. We even run sometimes. Our own wants become more important than God's. You know, I want to end tonight with a quote, from David to his son in 1 Chronicles 28:20. He says, be strong and of good courage and do it. It says, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, I think we can take that verse and apply it to us. I don't think God has failed us up to this point, and I don't think God's going to fail us. I think God has something, has a plan for this church, for me in particularly, and he's going to finish it. And he's going to be with me until all the work is done. It might be done tomorrow, you know. I might just die tomorrow. God has no reason to keep me another day. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. And by the grace of God, I've seen people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, we still have a building. We still have a church and we still have a vision. I think we need to keep this in mind. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Let's just do it. I mean, you think Nike came up with that slogan? Forget that, man. This guy was way ahead of his time. Just do it. Amen.